listening to the Puyallup Native Radio Program. Audio files are available online at nativetalk.net. Broadcasting from a big stick on top of a big building with red flashing lights so planes don't hit it. Be a part of the program by emailing us, podcast@nativetalk.net. And now, your hosts, Cliff and Brandon. More fun than going on a date with a bad cold. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Good afternoon. It's not Cliff and Brandon. It's Cliff and Ron. Haven't had him here in a little while, so it's great to have Ron with us today. How you doing, buddy?
Bonjour, everyone, again. Hello, hello. It's good to be back.
What is that greeting that you say? That is awesome.
Bonjour is hello in Ojibwa.
That is so cool that you know that. I can't. You know what? I know that we have like a language institute and like folks are learning it. I don't know how to say hello in my own language. So I'm going to need to learn that so that I can greet folks the way you do. That is really cool. Well, the email, if you want to chime in with comments, podcast@nativetalk.net. We'll read everything you've got to say. And we've also got a phone number. I mentioned this last time with Brandon, 970-278-5791, where you can call up. I'm not going to answer that phone. I mean, unless we're like right in the middle of a show, then of course I'll answer it. But if you call up, you can leave a message and we'll play it during the show. So if you have a comment or a question or anything that you want your voice to be played, 970-278-5791. So
standard data and messaging rates may apply.
Well, I'm not going to get text messages. If you want to send me a message, message me on Facebook or email podcast@nativetalk.net, which is where you can download all of our past shows and see a video of us doing the show through the YouTube link there. So this morning, I guess this is what, afternoon now, huh? I never can keep track of when we're recording.
Almost into the evening now, actually.
So I found out something that I wish I knew. I've got a membership card to the tribe I belong to, and you have a membership card as well, right?
That's correct, yep, for the Chippewa Ojibwa tribe.
Yeah, and I'm a member of the Puyallup tribe of Indians out of Tacoma, Washington, and I didn't know by flashing your membership card you can get into national parks absolutely free.
Yep, that's correct. I have gone to Yellowstone National Park, went up there and flashed my card. They allowed me entrance right in immediately. The one up here, though, at the Colorado National Forest, I guess it's not National Forest, but Rocky Mountain National Park. When I did pull up this time, I came up and I pulled up my card and I explained to them, you know, I was part of the tribe, this, that, and the other thing. Went to Yellowstone and didn't have an issue. Went to another national park, didn't have an issue. They let me right through. She looked at it several times over, and then she said to me, and I quote, "I thought you people had to be doing something ritualistic in the park in order to get in for free." I was like, "You people? Like, what is this? Are you serious right now? You people need to do something ritualistic."
Teach 'em, pale face brother, all about red man.
I love that sound effect. Did you teach her?
You know what? I did not, but I was like, if I do anything ritualistic, I will come back and find you. So,
so yeah, we've got somebody who actually used their card to get into national parks at no charge. So that is awesome. I wish I had known that when I visited Bryce National Park. Arches, mm-hmm. The Grand Canyon, mm-hmm. Yellowstone.
Yep.
I paid like $25 every time, $25 every time I went in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the prices are out of this world.
It's a steal. And even back in like 2015, I remember you could get like a 3-day pass or something for like $18. Now it's like $30. Jumped like an insane amount.
And I didn't have to pay that at all.
Yeah. Nope. Not at all. Not once. So definitely if everybody, you know, get out there, enjoy your national parks. And, you know, when you do, bring your card along with you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to help. Now let's do a short edition of Mr. Mayor.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman. Wait.
All right. So this one comes in from Don. Coming from Don, who is a fellow Puyallup tribal member, just like I am. And this is in response to the one I did about Harlan Crow. This is actually a repeat I did from like an old show. But he's a Texas millionaire.
Okay.
Who, you know when John F. Kennedy was shot?
Yep.
He was on his way to the Crow household.
Oh.
And he obviously, they were prepared, gonna accept him and show him like all the stuff they were doing. But he never made it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And have you heard of the Wyndham properties?
I know.
Wyndham Hotel properties.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was gonna say, I've heard of like the hotels, but I've
yeah,
never.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wyndham Hotel properties. Mm-hmm. Harlan Crow started those.
Oh, okay. Okay?
He was like the founder. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I saw on the news that he had Marco Rubio when he was running for president over to his house, and he's got a collection of historical like documents and artifacts that belong in any museum would be happy to have this stuff. And the head of the DNC at the time was. Because some of the artifacts he had were like Hitler's signed book and some other like Nazi stuff. He had stuff from all sides. Mm-hmm. But she thought that Marco Rubio should be ashamed of himself because he went into a house that deigned to have and display things from the Third Reich.
Oh, okay.
And so I saw it on the O'Reilly Factor, and I wrote Harlan Crow a letter, and he wrote me back.
Did he really?
He did write me back. And it was awesome. I read the letter on the air, and I basically did like a sort of a history lesson in like somebody who's like was doing well, and then they almost lost everything, and they like brought it back and that kind of stuff to kind of show people about perseverance and things like that. So Don says, "Well, I didn't listen to the whole show. Did he help you? Did he help you become a millionaire?" Well, no, it's been about 2 years since I got that letter. I've been thinking about at some point I want to write him back and let him know that, you know, because the things that I told him I wanted to achieve, I've done it now. Like I bought a house. I, you know, everything I wanted to do, like I did it, you know, because I had perseverance that I learned from him. You know, I got promotions. I became a tribal commercial diver, and it would be nice. Obviously to be a millionaire,
right?
But I'm pretty damn happy. So
you gotta celebrate the little wins.
Exactly. And it's like my life ain't bad, you know, and the point I wanted to get across with that by airing that show and, you know, directing people to it is that if you have dreams and you have perseverance, you can make it, even if it doesn't look like it, because at the time I did not see the path to home ownership. I couldn't see it. But I wanted it. I knew it was going to happen. I didn't know how. And now I'm sitting in my house that I bought that back then was only just a dream.
And
so
obviously you're doing well because inside of your house, you have a recording studio. So, I mean, there you go.
Yeah. And before I was recording out of a rented garage. So, all right. So being rich, being a millionaire is not like a necessity in life. Of course, I would like to have my own boat. That would be nice.
It's not a bad thing to be a millionaire.
Exactly. I'm not going to complain about being a millionaire, but it's not a necessity.
Right.
You know
right,
what I'm talking about? And so success is subjective with only you as being the judge. So you don't have to measure your success by being a millionaire. You just have to, you know, say, what do I need to be happy?
Right.
And set that as your sights.
Right.
You know, and so that was the reason why I put that show out there. Just think about it every day. And if you believe you're a winner, you won't be wrong.
Right.
So Don continues and says, you know, but I did listen a little bit and I hear that you learned how to set goals, dream big, and committed yourself to a work ethic that guaranteed your success. You would make a great speaker at Chief Leshai School, which is our tribe's school, to motivate children or be some type of a motivational speaker.
Very nice.
I don't know about that. but I appreciate it. Don says that he was also a scuba diver. He got his certification, but he had a diving accident, and he doesn't dive anymore. So sorry for that, Don, but... Glad you could connect, and it's good, always good to hear from members of my own tribe.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, and this one is about the show we did just the time before last about fake native art. This one, me and you talked about this a little
bit.
People who are like basically creating stuff in Thailand or, you know, elsewhere, and they're shipping it to the United States out of these sweatshops and passing it off as legitimate. And it's not legitimate.
Not at all, no.
All right, so Shannon says, just like the Redskins football helmet, the image of our grandfathers put on a helmet. I don't think that's the image of your grandfather. It's more of like a caricature, isn't it?
Maybe like caricature of your forefathers, I guess. But even then, unless you're a direct descendant, that's that would be like saying the Cleveland Indians is like your grandfather or something. That photo.
Wahoo.
Yeah, Chief Wahoo. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I don't know that it's like... But you know what, though? I think that what they've got on there is probably worse than having, compare Chief Wahoo with the Redskins guy.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather have Seminoles. The Redskins guy.
Or even the Seminoles character or caricature on there as well, yeah.
Well, she finds it troubling that no proceeds from that go to the American Indian people. They use our images for more ticket sales and drag the native cultural ways through the mud along the way. They truly disrespect our culture. Nothing is sacred in the society we live in. Only money making. Even Kmart sells native art.
They do.
Everyone's got to get their hands into the native pot for their earnings. All the way down to people with plastic feather headdresses at sporting events. Our native ways don't seem to be important, but it's more like a joke or a game. I was taught beadwork from a child, and I hate the plastic regalias at the games. It's not fair, but I like your views. Well, I appreciate that. I definitely believe that the fake art situation is far more disrespectful than image names or mascots, because disrespect of culture is one thing, and we can talk about that, which I got plenty of stories to talk about that today.
Right.
But the one thing is it doesn't literally take money out of people's pockets. An argument can be made for the indirect consequences, but, you know, that's not this conversation. But fake art is directly harming natives by flooding the market with cheap crap, basically, and it undercuts the prices that real artists are able to command.
Absolutely.
And because they're not being honest about where it comes from, claiming it to be handmade, native-produced crafts, it's wrong on basically every level imaginable.
Absolutely. Well, and let me ask you this, though. Is there maybe the reason why that is an issue and why it's arising is because there isn't an accessibility to these native artists, but rather there is an easier accessibility to these Indonesian artifacts?
No, because they've got like distribution paths and stuff like that. But it's showing up at big events as well.
Right.
Up in Santa Fe, New Mexico, we talked about during that show, they have like a week or a 2 week long like extravaganza.
Okay.
Basically like an arts and craft show. And a lot of this cheap stuff is showing up there.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And so it's intermingling in with the real stuff.
Right. Well, I mean, and when you end up coming down to that, are you going to buy the painting of Michael, like a famous Michelangelo painting, or are you going to buy a painting that a guy named Michael painted that looks like a Michelangelo painting? You know what I mean?
Well,
what
and would if you rather it, have? I would rather have the real thing.
I'd rather have the real thing, too.
But what if the fake thing is trying to pass itself off as the real thing?
Exactly.
How do you know?
Exactly. You know what? It's tough, too, because you have... It's so much of... There's so much of an impact where I don't think people are being taught on what a true native artifact looks like. And I think that needs to be a big push.
Not even customs officials know.
Right.
As we talked about in that particular show, they've got two enforcement officers in the entire country.
Okay.
And the customs officials who are trained to stop, like, you know, Egyptian artifacts and things like that, they're not trained to differentiate between Native American art and fakes.
Well, let's see, that's almost an insult to itself as well.
It is, because it's against federal law, but they're not, they have no training. So that's pretty horrendous.
Yeah.
Now, on to the next part of her comment about the, about people being disrespected and those indirect consequences. I've got I got some stories about that. We got to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Native Americans furious at Walgreens and CVS and some of those sports mascots right after this on the NativeTalk.net radio podcast.
The NativeTalk.net radio program. Always hot, no matter what time of the year. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting in the forest.
Uh-huh.
1 second I'm having a smoke. Next thing I know, I'm face-to-face with Smokey Bear.
Wow.
And he told me it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
Did you know 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous and you're not. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Our House Grief Support Center's mission is to provide the community with grief support services, education, resources, and hope. Our House, with the support of trained volunteer group leaders, helps those grieving find sweetness in the tears. With your help, you too can become a volunteer and help grieving children, teens, and adults embark on the journey to hope and healing. For more information, visit ourhouse-grief.org or call 888-417-1444.
The NativeTalk.net radio program with Cliff and Brandon may be fatal if swallowed, but hey, be our guest. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
All right, welcome back to the show. Now, we're talking about like political correctness and people being offended and stuff like that. And this is one that I've heard a lot of people not sure about. Are we Native Americans or are we Indians?
Do we have 2 hours to talk about that topic? Because I can tell you exactly where it all stems from.
Please tell me.
Okay.
Because I know that a lot of folks don't know, and a lot of people are not sure. I mean, I go back and forth between, you know, NativeTalk.net, Native Problems, Indian Country, you know, so I just kind of use them interchangeably. But why don't you educate some folks?
Long story short, once upon a time, a gentleman by the name of Christopher Columbus, which...
Who?
Exactly. Many people... there's a big stance on him, even just Columbus Day and things like that inside of the United States. Should that be considered Native Day? But once upon a time, when Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue, and I think it was 1492, I think is how
the
old rhyme
goes. Yes, I
believe that
is. Yeah. Yes.
He was trying to find a route to India. When he arrived here, he found the native population and dubbed them Indians.
Thank you. Come again.
Exactly. Yes. And so that is where that whole standard comes from. That's the short end of the story.
So that obviously is like where the, you know, why we're called American Indians.
Exactly.
But is it then appropriate with that background being understood? Should we be taking offense to that?
Well, you know, it. I've always considered it to be Aboriginal people, the original people.
I feel like when I hear Aboriginal, in my mind, I hear Australia.
Exactly, and everybody does. That's how I've heard about it before too. Aboriginal, Aborigine, or original is what it originally stands for.
Good day, mate.
Yeah, right. And so,
I look, it's a wallaby. The dingo took my baby.
You got a shrimp on the bobby. but that's where it all really kind of stems from. That's actually a very big plot was because he was trying to find India, found Native America. Or Native America, I guess, at the time. And then that's where that all stems from. So it depends on where you find yourself in an identity, if you find yourself in an identity crisis. Are you a Native American or are you Indian?
So what if you're a white guy who is like, you know, on television or you're, you know, writing for a living and stuff like that? How do you refer to the Native American Indian population? Because, you know, they've, unlike just a regular person, these guys rely on a political correctness in order to keep the paychecks coming.
Absolutely.
Because if you piss off the wrong people, that paycheck train comes to a grinding halt.
Your well begins to dry up, so to speak.
Because people don't like you anymore.
No. I mean, to as much as I hate to continue the political correctness movement that keeps going, it'd be Aboriginal people or Native American person.
You know, there's a phrase that I've heard quite often. It's what plays in the head need not always be read.
Mm-hmm.
Err on the side of caution. If it sounds offensive, chances are it is.
Probably. But that's easy in today's world where anybody can be offended by anything at any given time.
Yeah, it's a wild train that you don't know where it's going.
No, not at all.
And there are things that, like, I've said, and people look at me like I've got like four eyes, and I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. And they go, you don't call people retards anymore. Right. And I'm like, why not? We used to call each other retards all the time. They're like, when? I go, 1985, when we were like in the playground and somebody does something stupid, you go, oh, friggin' retard. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, you don't do that anymore. I'm like, since when? Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, since the last 5 years. I'm like, well, I just spent 5 years in Russia where they still refer to black folks using the N-word indiscriminately.
Right.
So I'm thinking they're not too concerned over the retard word, you know? But, so how am I supposed to know? Things change so fast.
It's those pejorative terms as well. They always change with time, and not only time, but with their meaning. I mean, there's words that have been dated back all the way to 15, 1600s that people have used interchangeably, and it's evolved with the times.
How about deaf? Can you say deaf anymore? Like, that person's deaf?
From what I understand, it's some sort of like a lack of an ability to hear. You can't use deaf.
Why can't I? You know what? I used to call it deef. He's deef. you can't say fat anymore.
Nope.
You can't call
plus size is fat.
Yeah. Okay. What about cripples? You can't call people crippled anymore.
Nope.
If they can't walk, you go like, oh, I just saw a cripple this afternoon. Can't say that.
And it's the same with handicap.
Yeah.
Is a word that's been done away with in terminology with cripple.
Yeah. Hearing impaired is the
hearing impaired. That's what
you can't even say midgets anymore.
Nope.
It's like little people. And I'm like, well,
Little people has also become offensive now.
Yeah. All right. So the same holds true of Indian. Mm-hmm. All right. So there is, let me see here. Correct terminology, American Indian, Native Americans, or Native. So basically this, what do you call it? Or like a reporter, a journalist is like asking somebody at the Smithsonian, right? Mm-hmm. This is a publicist representing Rumble, The Indians Who Rocked the World, which is a movie that's opening at different theaters around the country, you know, select theaters,
right?
For historical reasons and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, he says, this reviewer took exception with the following line from this guy's review. The film's one shockingly non-politically correct move is the use of the word Indian over the more socially acceptable Native American. So this journalist basically knocked the movie for using the word Indian.
Okay.
And the guy's like, you know, what's the problem with that? Mm. You know, and he goes, well, all right then, as an Indian or a Native American, what's the correct term? And he says, all of the terms are acceptable. The consensus, however, is that whenever possible, Native people prefer to be called by their specific tribal name.
Exactly.
In the United States, Native American has been widely used, but is falling out of favor with some groups, and the terms American Indian or Indigenous American are preferred by many Native folks.
Mm-hmm.
So, no more calling the baseball team in Cleveland the Cleveland Native Americans, or referring to the guy next door as a Native American giver. After he asked for the return of the pliers, he said,
oh, God.
So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But this is what I'm talking about, is you never know where the line is drawn because the line keeps moving.
Well, that's why the line's in sand. So that as soon as you push it over, it's like, oh, there's a new line here. Like, when did I tripped over this new line? Like, I didn't even realize it.
So let's talk about some things that are going on and whether or not it's political correctness gone mad, or if it's legitimate.
Okay.
All right. This story is from a group of Native Americans who are suing CVS, Walgreens, and other pharmacies, saying they are doing tremendous harm to their citizens. Can you guess what they're angry about?
I can't even.
You don't know.
No.
You don't know what the drug stores' problem is with the Native Americans? The drug stores?
Other than, the only thing I could think of would be like herbal healing, but that's the only thing.
No, they're selling them drugs, man. they filed a huge lawsuit against all of these various corporations and other drug companies, claiming they're actively harming them. The Cherokee Nation, specifically, accuses them of not doing enough to stop them filling legitimate prescription painkiller scripts.
Mm-hmm.
And they're creating an opioid addiction crisis in the tribal community. So, they get a prescription from a doctor,
mm-hmm.
take it to the pharmacy, and say, "Hi, doc, I'd like to get this filled."
Mm-hmm.
They filled the prescription, and now they're getting sued over it.
Interesting.
Because they're abusing the opioid that they get.
And so, is this, it's saying that it's a tribe-wide issue?
Well, come on. It's a nationwide issue.
Well, yeah. But I think what you need to also sit back and realize is that that's how a lot of the Western world was founded on. That's what makes a very large difference between the Western world and the Eastern world, is in the Eastern world, they believe in remedies such as using herbs or teas or different types of, for instance, when people use blood clotting or they need to thin their blood,
leeches?
Leeches. They use leeches in certain instances to break down blood clots or to have blood be just taken out so they can allow for blood thinners.
Okay. I'm down with that, but that's not the world we live in today.
No. And that's the thing is that it's a battle that you're either on the side of where you have Western doctors who you are taking on their word, no different than of any other kind of scripture or something like that. You're taking it based off of a theory, off of their word that these pills are going to do something good for you. Or you go to old remedies and natural remedies, taking, you know, I don't know what it's called, like something wart or something like that.
Like St. John's wart.
Yeah, St. John's wart, in addition to do, you know, to better yourself. And do any of them work?
So the question is, I mean, the folks are taking the drugs from the drug companies. Okay, I mean, that's happening.
Absolutely.
Okay, whose fault is it, though? That's the question. Who is to blame?
You know what's disturbing is how much personal responsibility has gone out the window in the past 10, 15 years.
Yes, I'm going to go with personal responsibility. Nobody is more responsible for your body than you. That's how I believe. I think that if you've fallen into like a problem, then, and you need help, I'm willing to help and like fund centers that help folks.
Thank you.
But it's your fault, man. You put it in your own body.
If you understand that there is some sort of an addiction to it, sometimes an addiction is a slippery slope. I have a lot of friends who have gotten addicted to things very quickly. Number one thing I can think of right off the top of my head, Adderall. Okay. But the thing is they were given that prescription by their doctor.
So I feel like the blame falls to the doctor. The last person I think of is the pharmacy who filled the script.
Oh, that's the messenger, man. You never shoot the messenger.
the lawsuit filed in tribal court on Thursday, that's going to go far, claims that companies are monitoring the opioid prescriptions and orders like they should, but that certain patterns should be raising red flags. And as a result, those companies are legally responsible for the situation, and they should be reporting it to federal officials, which they're not doing. So they're basically like, they're paying attention. They have records.
Right.
But they're not really like caring that much because, I don't know, that's not their job.
That's a tough decision. That's a loaded one, too. Because, I mean, that's the same thing that you could say with all inner cities is that every other corner, you have a drug store or liquor store, gun store, liquor store, pawn mm-hmm. shop, liquor store. But are you going after the store owners because they put that liquor store there?
Right.
Like, are you going after them? No.
These guys would. The tribes filing the lawsuit says tribal nations have survived diseased,
mm-hmm.
removal from our homelands,
mm-hmm.
termination, absolutely. And other adversities, and still, we found a way to prosper. But I fear the opioid epidemic is emerging as the next great challenge of our modern era.
Mm-hmm.
Cherokee Nation Principal Chief Bill John Baker said in a statement, "As we fight this epidemic in our hospitals, our schools, and in our Cherokee homes, we also plan to use the legal system to make sure the companies who put profits over the people's welfare while our society is crippled by this epidemic held responsible for their actions. Not sure. I mean, look, I agree that somebody needs to be doing something, but they need to be doing something everywhere. And I don't know. I'm just not feeling that the pharmacies are really the ones.
Well, you know what? As someone who's seen people with an opiate addiction, you know, Cherokee Nation, fight the good fight, I guess is what I can say to you. But just also remember that liabilities, it's on a whole bunch of different kinds of people. And you need to understand where those liabilities fall and where those liabilities begin before you can point fingers.
Absolutely. All right, so that'll do it for us today. I've got a whole lot more on this subject, and so we're going to continue with that on the next week's show. We've got a Maryland high school principal prohibiting Native American headdresses worn during athletic events.
In Maryland, makes sense.
I've got the University of Illinois ending its tradition of its war chant, and I will play that war chant so that we can determine whether or not that's political correctness gone mad or something legitimate. I've got a man who's a BYU graduate who wants to change the name of a mountain.
Interesting.
So we got a lot to do and a lot to talk about, but sadly we're out of time for today.
Yes, indeedy.
So tune in next week for more stimulating Native Talk Radio for those and other stories. Until then, have a great week.
You're listening to NativeTalk.net. Flying by the seat of our pants. Crap, we were supposed to bring pants?